Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ezra, chapter 9. Ezra, chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, "The people of Israel, and not the priests, and the Levites, have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves, and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in their trespasses. When I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and my beard, and sat down astonished. And they were assembled unto me, every one that trembled at the words of my God of Israel, because of the transgressions of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for our guests that are here today. Father, I pray that they'd feel the warmth and welcome that you have for us here. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit of God, please work through our preacher. We're a needy people. We're a sinful people. God, he has worked so hard to walk with you. Now, please fill him with your power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we receive the truth that you have for us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. This church is a positive church. This preacher is a positive preacher. I like to stay on the uphill climb all the time. But we are not a church that is absent of burdens. We are not a church that is absent of heartaches. We're not a church that is absent of disappointments and trials. We are a church that believes this. We believe that you don't look at the trial and become bitter. We believe you don't look away from it and refuse to face reality. We believe you look through it and see God. Let me say it again. You don't look at the trial and become bitter. You don't look away from it and refuse to face reality. You look through the trial and see God waiting on the other side. The passage of Scripture that we just shared together from Ezra chapter 9, you find this. Ezra was what we would call a post-captivity prophet. God's people had been in captivity to the Babylonians. And when they were given a chance to get out of that heathen land and get out of the captivity, some of them decided to stay. They had become like the heathen people. They had felt like, well, there's prosperity by staying here with these people. Now, they should have come out of the captivity. That's what they should have done. But some of them got set in their ways and decided to stay there in the world. Now, Ezra is the preacher to this small percentage of people who said, we're going to come out of that captivity. This small percentage of people that said, we still have God's heart. We still want the ways of God. We want the old time ways of God. And in Ezra chapter 9, you're seeing the story and the effects of this story on the preacher named Ezra. Remember, the people who chose to stay in the land, it broke Ezra's heart. In as we were reading there, it says the princes of the land, they came and they told Ezra that some of the people had decided to stay in captivity. And listen to what the Bible says. Listen to how it affected Ezra. It says, "I arose up from my heaviness." Let me tell you what happened.
These people, they refused to do what God wanted them to do. And when word came back to the preacher, it was heavy on his heart. And it says there came a moment when Ezra had to arise up from his heaviness. In verse number 4, it uses the fact, or uses the word about Ezra. It says he was astonished, or if actually it is the word astonished. And if you look back at me now and listen very carefully, it says he was virtually lying there astonished. Now, when he was astonished at this behavior, it meant that he was stunned. It meant that he was devastated. Maybe use some modern day vernacular. He was blown away by this. Actually, it means he was lying there and almost with a self-destructive attitude, he was facing this burden that had come upon him. Have you ever had anything happen to you that just devastated you? Have you ever had an occurrence come to you in life that stunned you? Something happened to you, and when it happened, you were just blown away. You didn't see it coming. You didn't expect it. But even if you did expect it, it hit you so powerfully that you just almost fell down, maybe physically, but if not, emotionally, you just felt like you crumbled under the weight of it. And I remember once, many years ago, and I mean 7 or 8 years ago, probably I was back. This was when I lived in Indiana. I happened to be preaching here in the state of West Virginia, preaching in Morgantown for a man by the name of Joe Elwell at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And it was one evening, I was getting ready to go and preach. It was the last night of a conference that I was preaching, and I was closing out that night. My phone rang. In a matter of just a few minutes, news came to me about something that, I mean, just blew me away. I remember when I hung up the phone, I honestly fell to my knees and to my face. All the energy in my body just left me. I don't know what to do or what to think or where to go. And I was just blown away. The hardest evening of my life, I knew in just a few minutes the preacher would come and knock on my hotel room door and that I needed to go and preach. That night, I preached out of duty, routine. I had a sermon. My mind was blown away. My emotions were devastated. My heart was squeezed for all that it was worth. I remember I preached. I got the sermon over with as quickly as I could and got back to my hotel room. I did not sleep all night long. I didn't sleep a wink. Started out the night praying for myself, but wasn't long. It didn't seem like that wasn't going to do much good, so I just started praying for everybody and everything that I could think of. I just had to figure out a way to get the devastation lightened and the load lightened. I want you to understand that just like that, something had come upon Ezra. And what happens here is the Bible says that he was astonished. And that word there again in the Hebrew language means he was just blown away. He was knocked off his feet and he almost had this self-destructive attitude that had come upon him. The Bible says it was so heavy upon him. And there are many of you who, if you're not now, you have in the past or you will in the future, you'll feel the heaviness of a burden that causes you to teeter under the weight. There are husbands in this house this morning who one day you may face, maybe you are now, the heaviness that comes in life. Maybe a wife. They're probably under my voice setting today, there are parents who right now are saying, "Oh, Brother Owens, I took a blow. I'm so devastated. I feel like I've been emptied of my energy. I feel like I've been spiritually knocked flat on my back, and I don't know if I can get up." Maybe there are children here who have been disappointed and hurt. Maybe it's because of sickness. When the word came, and if, by the way, if there are children in the auditorium, you'll need to slip out. This sermon is way too important for children to be allowed to interrupt. Maybe word of sickness has come. Maybe when it came, you weren't expecting it. You were blindsided by it. Maybe there's a widow here today. The pain and the heaviness of the loneliness is just overwhelming to you. Maybe it's a widower. Maybe it's some man of God, and folks, you do not understand. As a man of God, what men of God go through, there's a spiritual battle that goes on, and there's a real devil, and the devil's out to destroy the leadership, and the greatest leadership on the face of the earth are those that swing the old black book around and preach it and stand for it. And the devil attacks, and he puts the weight so heavily. Maybe it's some man of God. Maybe it's some man of God that loves his people and they want to stay in the captivity of the world like these people did under the leadership of Ezra. I don't know. But let me tell you this. I was reading my Bible and I came across this little passage of Scripture. I noticed in verse number 5 that it says that Ezra arose from his heaviness. Ezra arose from his heaviness. I was so delighted to know that when the bomb goes off and blows you off your spiritual feet, I was delighted to know that the passage of Scripture that talked about a man going through that very thing, it also says that Ezra arose from his heaviness. And it would be my guess and assumption then that whatever it was that helped Ezra to arise from his heaviness is exactly what would help you, and it's exactly what would help me when that heaviness has devastated us. What happened to Ezra? What did he do? What made it so that Ezra could arise from his heaviness? Whatever that is what you and I need to do. And the Bible's so clear on what it was. Let me help you this morning. That person that sits in the balcony this morning and you say, Brother Owens, nobody knows. Nobody knows the heartache and the devastation that I have faced in recent days. To those of you in the balcony, I'll throw out the lifeline. You listen carefully. Because if you've been knocked off your feet, there's a preacher that loves you and I want to help you today. I think I can help you. Arise from your heaviness. On this lower floor, a sea of faces, as we smile and sing, I realize something. Again, we're a happy church. I'm a happy preacher. But I look out and I see smiles and white teeth, but behind them I know there are broken hearts. And there are people who have been blown off their feet, devastated, knocked down. But I've got good news. Ezra arose from his heaviness. As I was reading here, I seen this. First of all, let me tell you this morning, it's easier to arise from your heaviness when you're with the right crowd. It's easier to arise from your heaviness when you're with the right crowd, because in Ezra chapter 9, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Then were assembled unto me every one that trembleth at the words of the God of Israel." Ezra said, "There I was, I'd been blown away. I was blown away. I was devastated by the burden." And then he said, "And then assembled unto me all those that trembled at the word of God." Hey, in a little while, Ezra arises from his heaviness. How did he get there? He was with the right people right before the energy he needed to arise from his heaviness was made available. You've got to get around the right kind of people. When you're down, get to the place that will get you up. When you're down, get to the place that will get you up. You say, Brother Owens, what is that place? It's the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We specialize around here in taking the fallen and lifting them up and giving them hope when they don't have it. When you're down, you've got to get to the place that will get you up. When you're down, you've got to get to the people that will get you up. I'll tell you something, it is God's people. It is God's people that will help to get you up. You see, Ezra said, "Then were assembled unto me every one that trembleth at the words of the God of Israel." In this place, we're surrounded by God's people. And folks, everybody gets down. And let's make sure that we've got the right spirit and the right attitude. And let's help to get people back up. When you're down, get to the kinds of leaders that will get you up. I spoke the last couple of days at a retreat for married people. A gentleman who is about 65 years old came over to me after I'd spoken about two or three times. And I can't tell you what it meant to me, what he said. He said, "Can I talk to you in private for a moment?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Brother Owens," he said, "thank you so much." He said, "I got knocked down pretty bad in my marriage years ago, and I lost my wife. I wasn't glad, but the marriage was a mess, and we ended up divorcing." He said, "I've listened to you speak three times." He said, "You've not treated me like a dirty man. You've loved me and tried to rebuild my life." He said, "Thank you." He said, "I'm not happy about what happened." He said, "Thank you." He said, "I've enjoyed being around you." You want to know something? When people get knocked down, I'd like it if they enjoyed being around me. Listen. See, I'm not down right now. You will be. You will be. You see, when you're facing heaviness, you know what you need? You need to get around the people that will help you to face your heaviness. When the heaviness of life has come upon you, and don't make the mistake of going to the world. They're the ones that will cause the heaviness. When the heaviness of life comes upon you, don't turn to alcohol. When the heaviness of life comes upon you, don't turn to your drugs. Hey, you don't even have to turn to food, though it tastes good. But you don't have to turn to your food. You don't have to turn to your cigarettes. You don't have to, hey, don't turn to some chat room where there are a bunch of people that don't care about God. Oh no! When the heaviness of life comes upon you, turn to God's people. Turn to God's church. Get yourself down to the church house. When something heavy hits you, don't allow the devil to convince you to stay away from God's people. When the heaviness of life hits you, don't let the devil convince you to stay away from God's house. Don't let that happen. See, when heaviness hits you, the devil comes along and he says, "Don't go to church. You'll be embarrassed by this. Don't go to church. Stay home and lick your wounds in private." That's what the devil says. The devil comes along when you've been sucker punched by the devil and you've been blown away. You're devastated. You didn't see it coming. The devil comes along and he lies to you. He said, "Look, if you go to church, someone will read your heaviness and they may inquire. You don't want to talk about it." That's what the devil does to you. Why? Because when Ezra arose from his heaviness, it started by him being surrounded by the right kind of people. It was God's people. See, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. When heaviness comes your way, be sure you show up for church. You show up where we'll lift your burden. You show up where the right kind of people will be there. Run to God's people, not from God's people. When heaviness is upon you, don't run with others who are depressed. Misery loves company. By the way, you're not supposed to be miserable. You're not supposed to be enjoying the misery. You're not to go find someone that's miserable and say, "Hey, let's share our depression and misery together." No, that's not what you're to do. You're to get up out of that miserable state. Don't call your depressed friends so you can be depressed together. Call me. Call me. We won't stay depressed for long. You see, when you're down and heaviness has come upon you, Ezra was surrounded by the right kind of people. And it's not long in the sermon. We're going to get there in a little while. But it's not long in the sermon. Ezra says, "I rose up from my heaviness." How did it start? Because Ezra got himself around the right kind of people. You heard about the man that was married to a blonde. He was about to jump off a bridge into a raging river below. A Baptist preacher came along, and the Baptist preacher said, "Sir, don't jump. How bad could it be?" And the man said, "I'm married to a blonde." And the Baptist preacher said, "Listen, let's talk through this. Tell me your problems with this blonde. I'll help you." About 30 minutes later, they both jumped into the river together. I don't know about you, but I found myself in life at times of devastation saying, "I've got to get to church because I think it'll make everything okay. I've got to get there." And by the way, if you're not in the kind of church that would make you feel that way, you need to find you one. You need to find one that understands the divisiveness of the devil. Better find a church where the preacher's going to lift you up and help you when you fall. You see, I believe this. I believe the Bible's teaching us here in Ezra 9:4. It is easier to arise from your heaviness when you're with the right crowd. Secondly, if you will tremble at God's Word, it will help you to arise from your heaviness. If you will tremble at God's Word, it'll help you to arise from your heaviness. Here in Ezra 9:4, it says, and this is, remember, this is right before Ezra is able to say, "I arose from my heaviness." He says in Ezra 9:4 that they trembled at the words of the God of Israel. When it says tremble at God's Word, it means we are to believe His Word. To tremble at His Word means to have faith in His Word. To tremble at His Word means to have confidence in His Word. To tremble at His Word means to have respect for His Word. To tremble at His Word means that you're not going to fear obeying it, and you would fear not immediately obeying it. I hold in my hand the words of God. I am to tremble. I am to respect. I am to admire. And you are not going to get over the heaviness that's come in your life, Christian, unless you will admire, respect, obey the Word of God. He said they trembled at the words of God. So what does it mean? When you face the heaviness of life, tremble at His Word. It means believe what He says. Get this. I'm so excited about this. He said, "Believe me when I say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." If your husband leaves you, your God won't. If your wife leaves you, your God won't. Oh God, help us that a child would ever be forsaken by a parent. Some of you children, some of you teenagers, you feel, "Well, my dad walked out on our family." But your God didn't. Young people, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Say, "But my mama just left us and left us for another man." But your God didn't. Your God didn't. Believe God when He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." You see, when Ezra needed encouragement, he surrounded himself by the right kind of people, which were Bible-believing people, and they trembled at the Word of God. Why? Because Ezra knew he could not stay in this depressed condition. He knew he had to rise up, and he began to tremble at the Word of God and realize that if God promised something, God would be true and that God would take care of him. He believed God when God said in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." I can't tell you why this heartache has come upon you. I can't tell you why this burden has come upon you. But I'll guarantee you one thing. My God knows what He's doing. My God won't let you down. And for some reason, God says there's some good tucked away inside that burden and heartache. You believe God when He said in Lamentations 3:23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not." God's compassion upon you has not failed. This sermon alone, there's somebody that sits here this morning and you say, oh, this is a God-given sermon. But oh, how I needed this. It was the very God of the universe that had compassion on you that led this old preacher to preach this sermon this morning. He's reaching down deep into your heart saying, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm going to help you through this thing. Why? Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Tremble at His word. Believe when He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23:6. Believe God when He says in His word. Listen to this. Romans 8:35-37, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us so. You may be going through a tough time, but there's no tough time you'll ever go through that will separate you from the love of God. Say, oh, Brother Owens, the tribulation has come in my life. Oh, Brother Owens, I don't know if I can take it. Yes, you can. You have not been separated from the love of your God. Oh, Brother Owens, I'm distressed. Oh, the persecution that's come upon me. The famine. I feel spiritually naked. I've been knocked down. I'm a bloody spiritual mess. Well, I've got good news for you. Your God loves you, and no tribulation that's come upon you can separate you from the love of your God. Hey, believe God when He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Arise from thy heaviness, Christian. Get up this morning. You're in the right place. You're with the right people. You've got the right book. We got to get up. We've got to get up. God did not want us to live in that heaviness. He wants to arise just like He wanted Ezra to arise. Listen to me, my friend. God's not dead. God's not dead. Hebrews 7:25 says, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Cancel God's funeral. Cancel it. God's not dead. Hey, if God's alive, His promises are true. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said His compassions won't fail. He said He can supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's not dead. Cancel the funeral. Stand up and arise. They had a funeral for Him one time and found out He wouldn't stay down. All the funerals you plan for Him from here on out are worthless. They had a funeral for Him once, but they found out that the funds for His tomb's perpetual care would not be needed. God's alive. God's alive. Believe God's word and arise out of thy heaviness. God gives hope through His word. Psalm 119:81 says, but I hope in thy word. You say, Brother Owens, my heaviness is over the death of a loved one. Then listen to this. In John 14:1 it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Say, Brother Owens, my heaviness is in the loss of a loved one. And anybody that's ever lost a loved one, you'll grieve all the way to glory over that loss. But I've got good news for you. That loved one, there's a place called heaven. And if that loved one were born again, you'll meet them again over yonder. They're there. They're looking down. They're saying, it's wonderful up here. It's a wonderful place, and I can't wait to meet you on the other side. But boy, don't you let that loss get you so far down that you stay down. Arise from thy heaviness by trembling at the word of God. Let the word of God encourage you this morning. Is your heaviness over a lost loved one? One that's not born again? Well, I've got good news for you, because 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, I've got a loved one, and Brother Owens, I want them saved so desperately. I want them saved. And it's heavy upon my heart. I heard this week a lady say something to me that I've probably not heard in 10 years. A lady came to my office and she said, "Brother Owens, there's a man that I've been dealing with and I'm trying to get him born again." She said, "I have wept tears over his soul." And I thought, that's incredible. Because people don't weep tears over the souls of men much anymore. And I say to that lady, arise. Because God said he's not willing that any should perish. He's on your side. He feels the same way. He wept the same tears. He died for that loved one. He was buried for that loved one. He gave it all for that loved one. You've got God on your side. Arise from that heaviness. Tremble at his word. If your heaviness is caused because of a backslidden loved one, one that's born again, one that's saved and on their way to heaven, but they're away from God, I've got good news for you. Hosea 14 verse 4 says, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." I've got some real good news for you. Hey, Mama, your child's broken your heart. They're away from God. Hey, Daddy, you say, "Brother Owens, I cried myself to sleep." Hey, husband, your wife's backslidden and away from God. Wife, your husband doesn't want to serve God anymore. Hey, who is it out there? You say, "Brother Owens, somebody I love, they're away from God. They don't want to serve God. They're going down the tubes. They're messing up their life." I've got good news for you. You've got a God that wants to reclaim the backslidden. The moment they're willing, God is willing, and God will be right there. God will be there to pick them up. May I add, your church is ready to pick them up too. I don't care how far away from God you get, this will always be a spiritual hospital. We're not going to throw anybody away or cast anybody aside. If you fall flat on your face when you're ready to come back to God, this preacher's arms will be open. These doors of this church will be open to you. You just come on back to God. You come on back to God. You've got a God that will reach down and reclaim the backslidden and reuse the backslidden. Is your heaviness over situations that are out of your control? So those, I can't do anything about my situation. I feel like I've been blown away, devastated, caught off guard. I'm lying there and I can't hardly get the spiritual strength to get up. In Genesis 18 verse 14 it says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" I try to live by faith, Brother Ron, I do. I try to live by faith. But there's something I'm learning. Nothing too big for my God. I'm like you. I'm human. I get up in the morning. I put my shoes on one at a time. Or actually, my boots. But I'm learning something. Fellas, I'm learning something. I'm learning slowly but surely. God doesn't need me to do everything. He can do it. And God brings some big trials in my life because I think He's just watching to say, "Okay, preacher, you preach it. Let's see you. Let's see you put your life where your lip is." Brother Paul, I'm learning. God's good. God can handle it. There's sometimes I come to the end and I say, "God, I've done everything I know how to do. I've preached my heart out. I've prayed and I've begged. And I've begged for wisdom. I said, oh God, I've got to know which route to go. I've got to know which way to turn. I want my church on fire for God. I don't want anything to stop it." There are times I face situations in the church and I say, "Lord, I can't get over this bump. There's nothing I can do." I think God likes to get me in that situation because He says, "All right, son, watch this." And I've watched God maneuver through the people and fix hearts and people that were nasty and backslidden. I've watched God say, "Hey, I'm the Redeemer. Hey, I'm the one that's got all wisdom. Hey, I'm the one with all power. Step out of the way, you crummy little human being, Jeff Owens. Let God be God and let God do His work." And every once in a while, you're going to feel like you just don't know what to do. Well, you get ready. Keep your faith in God, because when you come to the end of yourself, there's somebody waiting. He says, "Let me step up. Give me a crack at it. Hey, let me bat. Let me bat," God says. And he hits a home run with the bases loaded. Grand slam every time. Is your heaviness the heaviness over a diseased body. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse number 3, bless the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. There are people in our church that are not well. I want you to know, I hate it. You see, if I were God, I'd heal you. I'm not. And I ask Him to. And some of you, I think He will. But if He doesn't, I'm going to make you a promise. When you get to heaven, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Now, we'll believe that God will give you back your health. But if He doesn't, don't you lose your faith in God. What is the heaviness that's devastated you this morning? Is it heaviness maybe over your own sin? I don't know about you, but when I sin against my God, and I do, it becomes very heavy. Sometimes I wonder, will He use me again? I don't want Him to ever put me on a shelf. I've told God, God, if You're not going to use me, kill me. If God's not going to bless my church, I just want to die. And He knows I mean it. I don't want to be put on a shelf. But sometimes as I don't do the things or all the things I ought to do, I think, that's so heavy because I want God to use me. And then I saw Psalm 138, verse 7. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou shalt revive me. I cause myself trouble, but God said, Jeff, I can revive you. I can get you back on your feet and use you again. Has the heaviness come upon you? When the heaviness comes, tremble at the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. We all face our burdens. I was thinking of Brother Tennis. He, the other day, he picked me up at the airport. He was in a hurry. And in a hurry, he walked out of the house and forgot his false teeth. He stopped in up at Shoney's up here. I think it's Highway 7. Is that the one that we use to shoot down to Dulles Airport? Near Winchester, there's a Shoney's there. And he wanted to grab a bite to eat. He's coming to get me at the airport. And he told me this story. He got in there, but he didn't have his teeth, so he couldn't chew his food. There's this fellow sitting across the way from him and said, walked over and handed Brother Tennis a pair of false teeth. The guy said, they're clean. Go ahead. So Brother Tennis popped those things in, didn't know what to do. Brother Tennis said, oh, these are way too tight. The guy said, all right. Brother Tennis handed them back. The guy reached in his other pocket, gave him another pair. Brother Tennis, he stuck those in his mouth, and Brother Tennis said, these are way too loose. Brother Tennis handed back, and the guy gave him a third pair. He stuck them in, they fit just right. Brother Tennis ate his whole meal. So Brother Tennis decided he's going to buy that guy a meal. I mean, after all, he provided him with those teeth. And they were walking out together. Brother Tennis bought this guy's meal. And Brother Tennis said, sir, how long you been a dentist? The guy said, I'm not. I'm an undertaker. You think you got burdens? The prophet Ezra, his heart was broken. He was devastated. He was stunned. He was blown away. He was lying there in a self-destructive attitude, and he didn't know if he had the strength to get up. And all of a sudden, he got himself around the right people. And all of a sudden, he began to realize that the Word of God was true, and he began to tremble as he realized the promises in the Word of God. And thirdly, if you want to arise from your heaviness, you need to be obedient to the Word about which you have trembled. Because you see in Ezra chapter 9, verse number 4, it says, the evening sacrifice. In verse 5 it says, and at the evening sacrifice. Let me tell you what's happening there. You see, Ezra had been knocked down, but the Bible says when it was time for him to be a part of the evening sacrifice, he decided, I've got to obey God and take care of the evening sacrifice. Ezra faced heaviness, but when it was time to serve God with the evening sacrifice, he did it. Some of you need to show up for church at night. Show up tonight. Get your burden lifted. Hey, for some of you, I could help you not to have a burden if you'd show up at night, because I could teach you how not to get yourself in some of the messes you're in. But if you want to arise from your heaviness, the third step that I see here in Ezra chapter 9 is that he needed to be obedient, and Ezra was obedient. Obey. Keep reading your Bible. Obey! Go win someone to Jesus Christ. We're commanded to tell others about Jesus Christ. I'll promise you, when I get down, one of the most encouraging things that I can do is find a sinner that's on their way to hell and show them from the Bible how to be born again. I can tell them about Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, a special spiritual energy overcomes me and makes me say, you know something? I think I can take it. Some of you that are down and depressed, you come out and you go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And the obedience factor is an energy factor. God blesses you and comes in and says, you care about others, watch how I care about you. And He'll give you from within what you need as a result of obedience from without. Obey. Hey, listen to me now. When the devil comes and sucker punches you, when the heaviness comes, go out on your bus route anyway. Don't stay home. Don't say, I'm just not going to visit on my bus route. No, don't do that. Don't say, I can't drive my route today. I have heaviness. No, that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Ezra said, I've been hit right between the eyes. I'm knocked down. I don't know if I can get up. But he said, I've got to arise. He said, I'm going to obey anyway. Boy, the devil hits you, and if you're not careful, he'll talk you into staying home from your duties and not serving God. Show up on Thursday night soul winning anyway. You say, I don't feel like it. We don't do what we do because we feel like it. We do what we do because God feels like it. We're to obey God. Hey, Sunday school teacher, when the heaviness comes, show up and teach your class. Amen. I'm a 44-year-old man. I've been preaching for a long time, far more than someone my age should have had the privilege, and I thank my God for that. I want to tell you something. When the devil hits me hard, I immediately look at my schedule book and say, all right, what's next? I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to the church. I'm going to go preach. I'm going to go counsel. I'm not going to wallow in self-pity. I'm not going to give the devil the satisfaction. I will not stay down. I will work my way through this thing. I've got a lot to do, and there are a lot of people depending on me. I may go to work while I'm bleeding, but I'll bleed while I work, and I'll work while I bleed, but I'm going to get up, and I'm not going to stay down. I've faced it over and over again. You listen to me. Be obedient when the heaviness comes. Come to school, young people. When your heart's broken, show up for your classes. Go to class, to class, to class. Show up for chapel. Go to your gym class. Go to your basketball practice. When the heaviness comes, don't let the devil knock you out of your schedule. Why? Because those are the things that you do for God, and God wants you to keep on doing what you always have been doing, even when heaviness comes. That's what Ezra did. Hey, usher, don't stay home. Show up and be an usher when the heaviness comes. Hey, choir member, when the heartache comes, don't not come to choir practice. Come to choir practice. When the heaviness comes, greeter, show up at your post. You say, but I don't think I can greet. Then greet out of duty, but greet. Why? Because when Ezra was down, he knew to get up. He had to be there for the evening sacrifice. Hey, bus captain, show up. Hey, assistant teacher, show up. Hey, parking lot attendant, show up. Hey, deacon, show up. Hey, Christian, show up. Show up and do what God told you to do in the first place. Obedience is one source of power. You see, when Ezra got knocked down, he was devastated. What happened? Number one, he surrounded himself with the right kind of people at the right place. He secondly began to tremble at the promises of God's Word. He thirdly arose and decided, I've got to be obedient. And it was obedience was a portion of the process that helped him to rise up unto victory. If you want to rise up from your heaviness, number four, you need to humble yourself. You need to humble yourself. In Ezra 9:5 it says, and having rent my garments and my mantle, I fell upon my knees. The renting of the garments was a picture of humility. The falling on the knees. There's some of you, There's some of you that sit in the balcony every week. You don't use this altar. You want your God to help you with your heaviness, but you won't fall down before Him. That's what this altar's for, folks. We're not playing church. It's not just for the dumb little kids and rotten, filthy, backslidden people. No, it's for all of God's people to fall on their face before God and get the strength and the power that they need as a result of the humility that they express. If you're here to play church, you're in the wrong church. You can go down the street and find some church where everybody's trying to impress each other. We're trying to get the power of God on our lives so we can be victorious and we can live and survive this life. James chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." The way up from your heaviness is down on your knees. The way up from your heaviness is down on your knees. You better humble yourself. You better humble yourself. But I'll tell you what happens. That humanity that all of us have an abundance of, when heaviness comes, we're apt to get arrogant with God. Don't you take the attitude, this shouldn't be happening to me. How arrogant. Since when did God die and turn justice over to you? God knows what's best for you, and God knows what's best for me. See, God's good all the time. God's goodness is not based on what's happening in your life. It is based on the never-changing quality of God's goodness. Some of you, and this is what you need to do. In humility, you tell God you'll accept His will and you'll not become angry, you'll not become bitter, you'll not become despondent because of it. Instead of getting further away from God, you get closer to God. There are people you have faced tragedies and you've stopped coming to church. You use the excuse that the tragedy's keeping you out of church. That's not how you humble yourself before God. That is arrogance that you think you'll solve the problem of another without God's power. In humility, you tell God you'll accept His will. You'll not become angry at Him. You'll not become bitter. You'll not become despondent. You'll not become less useful for God. But it's your plan to become more. Do you know that it is a sin for you to have an arrogant attitude with God? For you to say, I don't deserve this. It's wrong. You should never talk to God that way. I deserve better. We all deserve hell. See, God's good. All the time. Anything's better than hell. Jesus Christ was being crucified. I do not have time to go into the story and the depth that it deserves, but let me remind you, they beat Him mercilessly. Did He deserve it? No. The only one that never deserved the bad treatment got more of us than all of us put together. He got more mistreatment than all of us. He's the only one that didn't deserve it. And you know what He said? He said, "Nevertheless, not My will, Thine be done." And if you want to come up out of your heaviness, you need to humble yourself before God, throw yourself at His feet and say, God, I'm accepting Your will. Whatever You want, I'm willing. I'll go through it if that's what You choose. I'm not going to get mad at You. I'm not going to get bitter with You. I'm not going to be angry at You. And there's some of you, you've harbored it, and it is destroying you. You are in a mode of self-destruction. There are wives, you're destroying your husband over it. Husbands that are destroying wives over it. Mothers that have destroyed children over it. It's time for you to fall prostrate at His feet, fall down in front of God, and say, oh God, whatever You bring my way, I want Your will in my life. I've got to get out of this heavy, depressed, despondent state and get up and do something great with my life. By the way, humility is not what others think of you. It's what God knows you think of yourself. You think you can give others the impression you're humble. I'm very sorry. That is not what humility is all about. Humility is what God knows you think about yourself. to arise out of your heaviness, you're going to have to fall to your knees and do some praying. Ezra 9:5, he says, I fell upon my knees. Ezra prayed. If you check and see what he prayed for others. Depressed people usually don't have a consistent prayer life. Check on them. Check on yourself. Ask yourself. You pray like you're supposed to? Most depressed people say no. Oh, you say prayer over your meal. That's it. You don't walk with God. You want to rise out of your heaviness? Walk with God. Why? Well, you'd be hanging around the right crowd, wouldn't you? You'd be hanging around somebody that trembles at His Word. He keeps His Word perfectly. If they do pray, it's always for themselves. Get that. Most depressed people spend most of their time praying for who? Themselves. Oh, God, it's terrible. Oh, God, it's bad. Oh, God, I can't take anymore. Oh, God, me, my. Ezra was down, and he started praying for everybody else. That's why he arose. Pray for somebody else's child. Pray for somebody else's health. Somebody else's finances. Salvation, needs, hurts, heartaches. Oh, everybody hates you. Nobody likes you. You'll just eat some worms. And the prayer time you do spend is all about you. You. When was the last time you shed tears over somebody else's heartache? No, you're so self-centered. So self-serving. Everything's about you. Your feelings are hurt. You're getting shortchanged. You got cheated. By the way, if you're listening, this is as much Bible. It'd help you if you had listened to what I'm teaching you right now. The Old Testament prophet got up and he said, I'm coming out of my heaviness. And how did he do it? He began to pray. Jesus was about to be crucified. You know what he prayed? John 17:9. It says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them which thou hast given me. What an example. Jesus is about to be crucified, and what's he doing? Praying for you. Praying for those of us who have been given to him through our choosing of salvation. He was not worried about himself. What was he worried about? Others. Some of you, you'd get out of your heaviness if you get your eyes off yourself. To arise out of your heaviness, you're going to have to accept the encouragement that God provides. Ezra 9:5, Ezra said this. He said, and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. You know what that meant? He said, God, I've taken the steps. I've got myself around the right people. I'm trembling at your word. I'm going to be obedient to what I've been taught. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to get my eyes off of myself and pray for somebody else. Okay, God, I'm now accepting what you have for me. Listen, don't reject this sermon. God's throwing out a lifeline for some of you. Don't push it away. Say, I'll take it, God. Don't reject God's Word. I gave you God's Word earlier. And it made you some promises. They were there to get you to arise out of your heaviness. All the victory you need is available. The problem is not God. The problem is you're accepting what God is willing to do for you. You limit God. God has no limitations except for the ones that you set upon Him for your life. Spread out your hands. There's some people in this room today, you need to say, all right, God, come on. I'm taking it. I'm going to obey the Word of God. I'm going to obey what I've been taught. I'm going to get up out of my heaviness. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know, there are people in this building. You have heard a sermon that will help you so much this morning. There are some people, you'll walk off this property, go right back to your old way of thinking, right back to your disobedience, right back to the same things you were doing before. You just take God and you'll say, get away from me. I'm not. You're not going to put your hands like this. You're putting your hands in your pockets. You like it, don't you? You like living in that state? You like the heaviness? You want to live there? Just receive. It's all available. Ezra 9, verse number 15. Listen to this. And the Bible says, by the way, it says, Ezra arose from his heaviness. He did exactly what I taught you today, and he arose from his heaviness. I was looking. I went all the way to the end of the chapter. And in Ezra chapter 9, verse number 15, it says, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped. You know what the Bible says? After Ezra went through all of this, he had felt like at first he was in captivity. He was in a deep, dark, bottomless pit. He was in a dungeon. He had been devastated. He had been blown away. He was hurt so badly. And what did he do? He took the steps that I taught you today, and when you get to the end of the chapter, he said, I have escaped. I've escaped. I've escaped the depression of life. I've escaped the hardship, the devil, or whoever brought upon me. I escaped it. It did not destroy me. It did not break me, but it made me. I escaped. It says, we are yet escaped. Oh, by the mercies of God, we can escape and do something great with our life in spite of the burdens that come upon us. He escaped. How did he do it? Got with the right crowd. A crowd that trembled at the King James Bible. They obeyed the preaching of the Word of God. They humbled themselves. They prayed. And then they accepted with open arms what God had. And they escaped. You listen to me, and you listen very carefully. Wherever you sit in this building, whatever you face, somebody else has faced the very same burden. They escaped it. And you let it get you down. What's the difference? They chose to escape. They chose. Because I know He's willing. Are you saved today? If you died today, you know 100% sure you go to heaven. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not born again, and I'm not talking about did you get baptized, and we're a Baptist church, but getting baptized never got anybody to heaven. I'm going to talk about do you good deeds. If you do good deeds, I'm glad for you, but good deeds won't get you to heaven. You say, well, I'm a member of a church. It doesn't really matter to me. Church membership doesn't get anybody to heaven. I mean, if you died today, has there been a time in your life when you realized you were a sinner, that sinners go to hell, that Jesus Christ died for, was buried for, and resurrected for sinners, you turned to Him and asked Him to become your personal Savior? You say, that was the day. I can go to the day. I see it in my mind. I'm not talking about a calendar date. I'm talking about an occurrence in your mind where you say, I realized I was a sinner. I was going to hell. I needed a Savior. I turned to Him. I wasn't trying to save myself. I trusted Jesus Christ once and for all eternity. I got born again. If you're not like that, you talk about heaviness. If you're not saved, you talk about the heaviness of life will overwhelm you. You need to get saved. Why? So you can go to heaven someday. Well, I've got good news for you, though. If you died today and you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven, you're in the right place. And you're with the right kind of people. You say, why? Because we tremble at the Word of God. We have right here the Word of God. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, just like the heaviness that Ezra overcame, you're in the right place. You're with the right people. You've got the right book. Now you say, what do I do, Brother Owens? Well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to obey the command of Christ to get born again. Just like Ezra needed to obey the Word of God, you need to obey God and get born again. So you say, what do I do? You get up in a minute, you walk down this aisle, and you fall down on this altar, and you humble yourself before God and say, I'm a sinner, and I deserve to go to hell. And then you pray, just like Ezra needed to pray. You pray and ask God to save you, and guess what you get to do? Escape. Escape what? Escape hell, because it is your destiny if you're not born again. If I were you and I were unsaved and heaviness of life had come upon me, I'd get saved so I'd get the Holy Spirit of God sealed down deep in my soul so I could get up and go do what God wanted me to do. But if you do not have Him inside you, you do not have access to His power. When you get saved, it does not mean you will have no burdens. It means when you have burdens, you have God to help you through your burdens. And some of you, you're saying, I can't take any more. Well, let me tell you what to do. Get saved. He'll give you the power, the energy, and the attitude to take whatever you have to take. And you can take it and you can make it if you will take Him and make Him your Savior today. This church is a positive church. I am a positive pastor. But we're not absent of burdens, heartaches, and trials. We just took on the attitude that is biblical. We will not look at the trial and become bitter. We will not look away from the trial and avoid its reality. We'll look through the trial and see God waiting on the other side. I offer you the help of the Word of God and the Spirit of God today. Accept it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.